Thank you. Before we get started this morning, Davina, did you have a testimony you wanted to share? Yeah? Awesome. Do you want to come up and share that?
Okay. Well, a little known fact you may not know is that Te Awamutu Primary and Rosetown Community Trust, which is our trust, the outreach arm of North End Church, have partnered early at the start of this year to create a program called Whare Ora. And it gives breakfast to all of our needy children before school, and then it runs a program through till 10:30, teaching them friendship skills, communication skills, whatever. And apart from the obvious purpose of teaching them that, it gives us an opportunity to find those children in need and to get sort of into their homes or make connections with the family as well as the kids. And so I just, at Mystery Creek, we were chatting with Brett from Stony Creek, and it turns out that he has a trust that provides track pants, thermals and jerseys for kids. And so he has given 20 of these packs to Te Awamutu Primary School and Whare Ora in our program. So I just think that's really exciting that we get to connect all those things together.
Man, how awesome is God? How awesome that he did that, that he provided those connections out of all the thousands of people they could have run into. He provided that connection, and now these kids are going to be warm. I love that. Phil Senses Love, they are having an amazing time in Indonesia. I think they're all getting a little bit tired now. I think they're about ready to come home. So today is their last full day in Indonesia, and then they've got a 5-hour car ride tomorrow, and then a, 12-hour plane flight or something to get to KL, and then they have one night, and then they're going to be home on Wednesday. So he sends his love, and he says, thank you for your prayers. It has been an amazing time. He preached somewhere the other day, and he preached for 2 hours, and then he prayed for people for an hour and a half, and he said it was just phenomenal. The team that he took with him has been working with the kids, and they have just been had the most amazing time, and they've taught them stuff, and the kids have taught our lot stuff, and apparently it's just been phenomenal. Lots of tears and lots of laughter. So thank you for keeping them in your prayers. It is much appreciated. This morning I want to have a look at success and what that looks like. What it looks like through our eyes and through the world's eyes, and probably more importantly, what it looks like through God's eyes. Now, if any of you know me, you'll know that I love Pinterest. Like, does anyone here not know what Pinterest is? Okay, for the couple that don't, Pinterest is this shiny, shiny website that you go onto and you click onto things, and there's just an array of everything. Any and everything that you could think of is on Pinterest. If you want Christmas ideas or organizing ideas, or, you know, there's 1,000 meals that you can make your family, everything's on Pinterest. And when I go onto Pinterest, it's kind of like this vortex that just sucks me in, and I get all consumed, and it's just, I love it. And there's a whole section on Pinterest called Pinterest Fails. And what Pinterest Fails are is it's that people have gone onto Pinterest and saw something and thought, oh, I'm going to recreate that. And so then they try and recreate it, and it doesn't always quite work out how they want. So I've got a few pictures of my favourite ones. So this is this is someone's, you know, heartfelt attempt at a little lamb cake. Okay, rainbow cupcakes. Yeah, not quite how Pinterest pointed it out, right? The next one. You know, I'm sure their daughter loved it, right? Okay, the next one. So close. Like, so close, right? Okay, the next one. That bottom one, I'm sure that kid had nightmares after their first birthday. Okay, the next one. Again, so close. I love this next one. You know, we all have these expectations of photos of our kids, and then the joys of it, right? And the next one, I'm sure we've all tried to recreate this. Like, honestly, Pinterest is awesome, and you can get, like I said, sucked into it. And so this morning when I was thinking about it, I thought, I wonder what my Pinterest fail would look like. And so I've got this picture, and I'm sure this picture here is what my parents wanted me to be like as a 17-year-old. I'm sure this is what they had in their mind. But this next picture is actually what I was like at 17. Yes, that is me on the right-hand side, all ready for a Saturday night out. Now, I really do feel sorry for my parents in this, because I'm sure that this is not what they'd hoped or they'd dreamed for their daughter. I'm sure at the time my parents thought that I was actually a failure, and I'm sure that they thought their parenting skills were at a failure as well. Through the world's eyes, I was not living a life that every parent dreams of for their kids. But did this make me a failure? You know, the dictionary defines success as this. It's a favorable or prosperous termination of attempts or endeavors. It's the accomplishment of one's goals. And it defines failure as this. An act or instance of failing or proving unsuccessful. So looking at this picture of me at 17, it's easy to sit here and think that I was a failure. It's easy to see that my life was not Pinterest perfect, and I know that I was far from what my parents had dreamed for me. And I don't really want to get into the whole judgment thing this morning, but it's easy to look at this photo and make a judgment call. It's easy for us to look around and judge people by what we think we see. You know, I realize that this photo doesn't scream perfect child. But you know what? Deep down, I was still a good person. I was a loyal friend. I was generous. I was hardworking. And deep down, really deep down, I had good morals and principles. Yet still, so many people had labeled me a failure, including myself. But then let's look at this picture now. Is this what success looks like? You know, I'm married to the most fantastic guy. I have two awesome teenagers who are both going on for God. I live in a great house. I have amazing friends who love me and support me. And I get to speak into the lives of young girls, which has always, always been a dream of mine. So, with all these things in mind, does that now make me a success? Or actually, am I still a failure? The world could easily look at my life and label me as a success. But to be honest, some days I don't feel like that. In fact, some days I feel quite the opposite. You know, I have so many good intentions that I never follow through on. I struggle on a regular basis with the position that God's put me in. I worry that I'm screwing up my kids' lives when I think about all my parenting fails over the years. I don't read my Bible as diligently as I should. And as we learnt the other week, I'm not always as submissive as I should be. And even though this picture is lovely, my life is still far from Pinterest perfect. This is how I wished my life looked on a daily basis. I would love to be her, but reality hits, and this is more what my life looks like on a daily basis. So again, who determines what success is, and who determines what is failure? The answer for me in that is God. But I think we need to look at his definition of success to see what it really looks like. You know, sometimes we look at people in the Bible and we can think, well, if they're in the Bible, they've got to be a success. And we think that if they have a book named after them in the Bible, well, they're obviously the pinnacle of success, right? But I love how the Bible is filled with imperfect people. You know, there is story after story after story about how people failed. Well, in their eyes, they failed. And so the person we're going to look at this morning is the life of Jeremiah and the first half of his life. So we're not going to read Jeremiah this morning because it's quite a long book and it's very involved. So I'll just give you a bit of an overview of what happens in it. In the first few verses in the book of Jeremiah, we see that God has called Jeremiah to be a prophet. And we can look at that and go, wow, what an amazing calling on his life. You know, if God is calling him to be a prophet, then he must be going to be super successful, right? Aren't all prophets amazing and everyone hangs off their every word? But the first thing that we learn about Jeremiah is that when God called him, Jeremiah turns to God and says, actually, God, I don't know that I can do this. I don't know how to speak. I'm only a child. Which, looking at it, is not really a great start to a successful career. The funny thing is, in the research that I did, the scholars say that Jeremiah was around the age of 17 when God called him, which is the same age as the photo I just showed you of my wee phase that I went through. But Jeremiah had a big calling on his life. God showed Jeremiah how Judah had forsaken God. And Jeremiah comes to the people of Judah and he tells them that the Lord is not happy with them. That God had sent them prophet after prophet after prophet, and they had not listened to any of them. Jeremiah told them to turn from their evil ways and from their evil practices. And if they did that, they could stay where they were. But if they didn't do that, if they didn't listen, that God was going to send them to exile into Babylon for 70 years under the rule of King Nebuchadnezzar. In verse 26 of Jeremiah, God sends him out yet again and he speaks to the people and he pleads with them and he gives them another chance. But again, they wouldn't listen. This time they actually threatened Jeremiah with death. Again and again the Israelites wouldn't listen, and so eventually they were exiled to Babylon, where they would stay for 70 years, and after that time God would bring them back and restore them to Judah. So I'm guessing at this point the Israelites were not happy with Jeremiah, and he probably wasn't their favourite person, even though it was their choice not to listen to him. In verse 28, there does come some hope for the Israelites, but this hope does not come from Jeremiah. The prophet Hananiah comes along and gives the people good news. He tells them, actually, they're not going to be in exile for 70 years. It's only going to be 2 years. And the Israelites were like, yay, this is awesome. It's what the Israelites wanted to hear. But God tells Jeremiah that Hananiah is a false prophet with false good news. He did not send him, and so Hananiah had persuaded the nation to trust in lies. Now, obviously, God doesn't like false prophets, and so in Jeremiah 26, the Lord says that he would remove Hananiah from the face of the earth. I love that. That's the words, remove him from the face of the earth. And God did that. But then in verse 29, we see that Jeremiah, still pleading with the Israelites, sends them a letter. And he sends it to the surviving elders and the exiles in Babylon. And he tells them to settle in the foreign land of which they were living, to build houses, to plant gardens, and eat what they produce. He told them that they should marry and they should have sons and daughters, and then they should marry off those sons and daughters as well. He told them to seek peace and prosperity of the city to which he had carried them. And then after 70 years, God would come back and fulfill his promise of taking them back to Judah. But really, this is not what the Israelites wanted to hear. So again, Jeremiah was not seen as their favorite person. They wanted to go back to Judah where they could worship God in their temples. They felt a really deep loss and a strong desire to return to Jerusalem. They actually wanted to be told their suffering was going to end. But instead, God's plan for them was to stay right where they were. and to help prosper the very nation that had enslaved them. They realised that they were going to be there for the next 70 years, which also meant that none of the current generation of Israelites would ever return to their homeland. You know, during his time, and probably even in the standards of the world today, Jeremiah was not seen as a success. For 40 years, he served as God's spokesman to Judah. But when he spoke, no one listened. For 40 years, he spoke, and not once did he see any real success. Consistently and passionately, he urged them to act, to turn away from their evil ways, but nobody listened. Not one single person. Eventually, Jeremiah was thrown into prison, and he was also thrown into a cistern, which is like a cistern is like a deep pit filled with rocks to catch rainwater. So it was not fun. He was rejected by his neighbours, and he was rejected by his family. Even the false prophets and priests rejected him. He was rejected by his friends, his audience, and even the kings. He was downcast, and he questioned God about his calling. Throughout his life, Jeremiah stood alone. Through the eyes of the world, Jeremiah was not a success. Even himself didn't think that he was worthy or could do it. You know, Jeremiah wrote two books in the Bible, both focusing on the destruction of Jerusalem. The book of Jeremiah predicts what was going to happen, and Lamentations looks back on it. Lamentations is known as the Book of Tears. It is a funeral song written for the fallen city, a funeral song written by the man that God had called to speak life into the Israelites and to show them the right way to live. I mean, a funeral song. Is this what success looks like? Is this how the world would define success? The world would say that Jeremiah was a success if the people had actually listened. If they had turned from their evil ways and did what they say, he would have been seen as a success. So does that make him a failure? In God's eyes, Jeremiah was not a failure. In God's eyes, Jeremiah was actually a huge success. Success as measured by God involves obedience and faithfulness, which is different than how the world would define it. Jeremiah did all that God asked of him. Just because the Israelites didn't listen to him and there was no fruit to be seen doesn't make him a failure. Just because he was downcast and he wept for what had happened doesn't mean he wasn't a success. He was faithful with what God had asked him to do, which means in God's eyes, Jeremiah was a success, even if his life wasn't Pinterest perfect. You know, some of you will remember the very first time I spoke at North End Church. It was a couple of years ago now. We've been here nearly 2 years. And Phil was away for the weekend, and so I was given the task of bringing the word. And I was kind of excited and super, super nervous. But deep down, I wanted it to be a success. Like, I wanted to talk well, and I wanted people to like me, and I wanted to prove to people that I was the right girl for the job. Like, I don't know who I was proving that to. I think I was probably proving it to myself more than anyone. But I wanted it to be a success. And so I had spent weeks and weeks and weeks preparing and praying about it. And I'd done a whole lot of research, and I'd written out all my notes, and I'd written them out 1,000 times and gone over them and over them and over them. And then I got up that morning, and I remember coming up on stage, and I was like super nervous, but I thought, no, I've got this. And started talking, and I think I was doing okay. And then I turned over my page and I realized that some of my notes weren't there. And I was like, oh my goodness. And I froze. Like, I literally stood here holding on like this, trying to, so people couldn't see me shaking. And I froze. And I couldn't move. And I'm like, oh my goodness. Like, this had honestly never happened to me before. Like, I'd spoken quite a bit at women's conferences and stuff, and I'd never, ever frozen. But on that morning, I could not move. Like, I'd gone over my notes 1,000 times. I knew it off by heart. I could have just carried on talking. But because my notes weren't there, I panicked. And I remember Bronnie coming up on stage with me, bless her, and she was like, "Kathy, you can do this." So I kind of got myself back together and I kind of carried on. And as I turned over the next page, I realized more notes were missing. And I'm like going, "Oh my goodness." And so I made something up and I sat down as quickly as I could. I remember leaving here and I remember getting in my car, driving back to Hamilton, and I was bawling my eyes out. Like, I was just ugly crying. And I'm just like, "God, like, really? Like, oh my goodness, I wanted to be a success. Like, I wanted people to like me." And I'm just like, I'm just whinging and I'm crying and I'm just like, "Ugh." And I felt like a failure. I felt like an absolute failure. But you know what? That morning was a success. It wasn't quite how I'd pictured in my mind. You know, I'd pictured that I'd do this great talk and that everyone would go, "Oh, you're amazing and we love you." And I'd sit, you know, like this. And I'd be like a real pastor's wife, whatever that looks like. But it didn't turn out like that for me. Like, that's how my worldly definition of success was. But God was like, "You were a success. I didn't ask you to preach in the most amazing message that anyone's ever heard. I didn't want you to have, you know, fame and fortune and accolades from men. I asked you to speak, and you were faithful, and you were obedient. And that's all that God asked of me." And so that morning was a success. For me, it changed my definition of what success actually looks like. And it reminded me that we need to keep our eyes on God's perception of success, not our own. God's success will look so different than the world's. You know, it's like I tell my .K girls, it's about being brave and it's about doing hard things. It is not always about winning. And it is not always as the world would define it. For me personally, success is not about preaching an amazing message and getting accolades from man. But it is about getting up here and being faithful. Success for me is getting over the fear of man. It is about standing up here no matter how nervous I feel or how sick in the stomach I may be. It's about leaning in on God and it's about being obedient. It is about removing the ridiculously high standards that I've set for myself. And it is about being faithful, no matter what the outcome, or whether the world would judge me as a success or not. Success is walking in obedience. I've got a photo here of two guys. Now, if I were to ask you, you know, which one is the success, you would probably tell me the guy on the left, right? He looks like he's successful. But actually, in reality, this guy is awful. He's selfish, he's self-serving, and he looks after no one but himself. This guy on the right doesn't really look like a success as what the world would define it. He almost looks homeless. And actually, he is a homeless guy. But he's also a hero. This guy lives in Manchester, and when they had the bombings there a couple of months ago, this guy went into the arena, and he was saving people. He didn't think of his own safety, but he went to help others. I read an article about him, and he sat with a 60-year-old lady as she lay there dying, and he refused to leave her. He spoke love over her, and he showed her compassion, probably the same compassion that he'd wished people had shown to him, but they hadn't. And so as we look at these two guys, you know, we look at it with a worldly perspective of success, but really in God's eyes, the guy on the right is way more of a success. What does success look like in your life? Are you looking at success through the world's eyes, or are you looking at it through God's perspective? Are you beating yourself up because you're comparing your successes to someone else's? You know, I know that this is an oxymoron, but you can be a success without succeeding. In God's eyes, Jeremiah was a success, even though he did not succeed in getting the Israelites to listen to him. You know, sometimes God will set us a task, and it's not about succeeding in that task, but it's more about our obedience and our faithfulness. That's where success comes from. You know, maybe for you it's changing your 100th nappy for the day, or it's getting up for the 20th time in the night to a sick child because God has called you to be a mum in this season. Maybe success is when you don't get that promotion at work, but you hold your head high and you congratulate the person that did. Maybe success is carrying on when you feel like you just don't have the energy to carry on. Maybe success is reading your Bible and hanging with God, when in reality all you really want to do is lie in bed and watch Netflix. Success is picking up someone for church when they can't get there on their own. Success is making a meal for someone in need. It is reaching out to that person that God has placed on your heart. Success is loving that person that is actually really hard to love. Success is taking those small steps in the right direction. And success is being faithful and obedient in our walk with God. You know, I sometimes think we imagine God sitting up there with a big stick and a red pen, and we think of him as a taskmaster. And so we might get to a Sunday morning and God's got his sheet there and he's like, right, Kathy, Sunday morning. Okay, did she welcome people? Yes, tick. Did she cuddle a baby? Yes, tick. But actually she was cuddling too many babies, so she didn't get a chance to talk to that person, so let's just deduct some points. You know, did she get up on stage? Tick. Did she print out all her notes? Tick. Was she wearing the appropriate pastor's wife shoes? Tick. You know, did she preach the word? Tick. But you know what? She hesitated, she lost her place 3 times, and she didn't use any of the big words that she learned at Bible school. So we'll just take off some marks for that. So, was Kathy a success? Well, maybe not a success, but she was 2 points off being a failure, so that's okay. But actually, in reality, God is over here going, has she been faithful? Has she been obedient? I'm so proud of her. You know, often in our parenting, we're over here with our big God and his stick and his red pen. And when, you know, for me, I know when the kids were little, I'd be like, okay, got the kids dressed, tick. One of them isn't wearing matching socks. Deduct points off that. Okay, have the kids got lunches? Yes. But you put in muesli bars brought from the store instead of homemade baking. Take some points off for that. Is the laundry done? Yes, but it's been sitting there for 5 days, so we're going to deduct some points for that. You know, did I feed the family? Yes, tick. But not everything was made from scratch, and the kids complained about it, so let's take off some points for that. Did I bath the kids? No. That's okay, you did it 3 weeks ago. So, you know. And so we look at ourselves and we think, oh my goodness, I'm failing, I'm failing, I'm failing. Whereas in reality, God is over here going, is she being obedient? Tick. Is she being faithful? Tick. I am so proud of her. You know, I think, again, we need to get away from how the world would define success and how God sees it. I think we need to stop beating ourselves up for what we think are failures and to relook at our lives through God's eyes, realizing that actually we're not perfect, but God never expects us to be. He does expect us to try our best and be obedient in his calling, but that does not mean perfection. We do not have to have a Pinterest perfect life for God to love us. You know, if we could put up the slide of old me and new me. When I was a 17-year-old kid who the world had labelled a failure, God looked at me and he saw success. He looked past the black clothing and the awful makeup, and he could see all the good that was in me and the potential that lay deep down with who I was. I may not have looked like a success to the world or even to myself, but that's how God saw me. And even today, my life is completely different to what it was when I was a 17-year-old. But the fact in that is that God doesn't love me any more today than he did when I was 17. You know, I may be a little bit more acceptable to society now, but in God's eyes, I have never been, and I continue to not be a failure to him. If I could get the band to come up, please, that would be awesome. When I was preparing this message, I really felt this morning that there's a couple of people in here who feel like you're a failure. And this morning, I really believe God wants to whisper in your ear and say, keep going. You are not a failure. God would say that it doesn't matter how the world sees you. In his eyes, you are a success. You know, so many of us place the world's expectations on our shoulders. And when we feel like we don't measure up to the world's standards of success, we label ourselves a failure. But at the end of the day, if you are being obedient and you are being faithful in what God has called you to do, then you are a success. Let's start seeing each other as God sees us. Let's stop defining success as the world would. And let's see it as God sees it. Let's start celebrating our successes and of those around us as well. So we're going to stand and we're going to sing about God's amazing love again, how it never fails us. And this morning, if you are feeling like you're not quite measuring up, then we would love to pray with you. You can come down the front or you could do it afterwards, it doesn't matter. But we would love to stand with you and we would love to encourage you and tell you that you are a success. If you are following God, if you're being obedient, and if you're being faithful, then you are a success. Full stop. You know, the lies of the enemy would tell you that you're not measuring up. You know, your life is not Pinterest perfect. The world could label you very easily as a failure. And I believe that God wants to break that off some of you this morning, to get away from what the world would say about you and focus on him. Keep your eyes on him, not as a taskmaster, but as a father who loves you and adores you and whose love amazes us. We cannot even comprehend how much he loves us. So as the band sings, if you would like prayer, please come up. Otherwise, join in the song and let God's love wash over you.